To learn more about Nikan, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.
Wasn't that in unison? Very good, girls. I heard Betty, and was it Char?
Elaine.
Elaine, sorry about that.
Elaine and I have been practicing.
What?
Elaine and I have been practicing.
Oh, good, good. You know what they say about practice. Is anyone else on, or just the two of you?
I haven't heard anybody else.
Well, if there is, you don't want to mention it. Any news for us, Betty?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you sound good. That's good, good, good. Continue.
Yeah, Hannah Joy was born about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. She weighed 6 pounds, 1 ounce.
Nice size.
She is wonderful.
I love the name. Boy, I'm so glad they put Joy in there.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody sighed a sigh of relief, I'm sure.
Yes, we're all counting our blessings.
Oh, for sure. How's Mom feeling?
Really very good.
They did a C-section or they induced her?
They induced her.
And it took. I mean, unless you're ready, it won't take, so that's good.
Yeah, she's going to be released about 5 o'clock this afternoon.
It's
oh, my.
Her other baby that she had.
Luke is 2 and, in 2 months.
How big was he when he was born?
He was 7 pounds and low in the ounces, so there's just about a pound difference.
Which, a boy to girl is not, 6'1 is not a bad weight.
Right.
It's amazing the difference between a 6'1 pound baby and an 8 pound baby when you look at them.
Oh, wow, yes.
Yes, for sure.
And when you start carrying them. Anyway, I'm so happy to hear that good news.
Yes, and thanks to all of you for your thoughts and concerns and your prayers. I certainly appreciate it, and I know that Kara did, too.
Good. Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns? Okay, in our paper, not this Sunday, but a week ago, since we are no longer getting the newspaper, the newspaper is no longer being home delivered. I mean, it's available, you can buy it in stores now every day, but it's not home delivered every day, so they've moved stuff around, I've noticed. We don't get the paper. Mindy gets it on Sunday, and she recycles it through us. So, and the back page of our business section, interestingly, it takes up probably 250, probably about 60% of the page. Big headline, and they have under agriculture, they call it, a new front in fight over modified food. And there's a picture here of Ian Perdue next to shelves in a grocery store, and there's a sign here that says non-GMO project verified, non-GMO project made following best practices of GMO avoidance, third party verified, supports the sustained availability of non-GMO choices in North America. And this person I don't know. I'll read what it says under the picture. Ian Perdue scans products that have not been genetically modified for ordering at an Austin, Texas Whole Foods store in April. So just because the name is Perdue, I don't know, doesn't say whether he is connected to the chicken guy or not. Washington vote to decide if genetically engineered products will need label. And that's Washington State, because the article is from Seattle. Then there's another picture of, and underneath it says, Whole Foods is the first supermarket chain to require its suppliers to put GMO labels on their products. And here's another, it looks like mixed vegetables, that says non-GMO project verified. So, remember a couple of years ago, I don't know if you were on Elaine at the time, but Betty, I think you were around when there was something came out about Whole Foods.
That they were carrying or going to be carrying and not labeling or whatever the GMO a couple years ago?
There was something negative about them, and I don't remember specifically what it was.
Yes.
That's what it was, that they were not going to label them, but they were going to carry GMO. Well, they've made a step in the right direction, it looks like.
There was a change in their thinking.
I'm glad to hear it.
Well, they had a lot of people on their back about it.
I believe, and it may not even be true, were they the first ones to come out with the healthy kind of store? At least on a national basis. I don't know. Anyway, let me just read some of this article. And this is from Seattle, from the Seattle Times. Get ready for a food fight. Mine's in the cafeteria. When Washington voters decide Initiative 522 this fall, they will do more than determine whether to label food that contains genetically engineered ingredients. They also will take sides in a national battle that has raged for two decades about the benefits and safety of manipulating the DNA of food, something many people view suspiciously but do not really understand. There's a lot of uneasiness among consumers on the topic. Technically, any plant or animal that has been bred for particular characteristics is genetically modified. The difference with so-called GMOs is that their DNA is directly manipulated by inserting or modifying particular genes. Some call such targeted work genetic engineering. First genetically engineered food to appear on grocery shelves was a tomato, which failed because consumers didn't buy it. By contrast, the handful of genetically engineered crops that have been widely adopted by American agriculture,
Linda Moore,
has arrived.
Corn, sugar beets, soybeans, and canola are designed to appeal to growers by withstanding certain herbicides or creating their own internal pesticides. Many of these genetically engineered seeds are owned by chemical companies such as Monsanto and Bayer, a fact that has fueled some people's mistrust. GMO advocates, however, also include powerful non-business interests. You ready for this one? Such as the Gates Foundation, that say the technology can be used to enhance nutrition and other qualities desired by consumers. To Neil Carter. I'm sorry, what?
I knew that Gates was involved in that. It just blew me away.
I think it's a lack of education. I've been thinking about this because years ago, you know, when you first hear that they're going to change the food we're eating. Now, ignoring what we have learned in the last 8 years, say, and that they're going to improve it and they'll be able to control better of what we're eating, you know, how it's produced, it almost sounds good. So I think it's a lack of education on his part.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. And, you know, in my thinking about that when I first heard about it, Nancy, I thought, you know, this is just like the pharmaceutical reps that go into the doctors and sell them on how wonderful this drug is or whatever. And they're, whoever these companies, Bayer and Monsanto, are selling to, that they're doing exactly that same thing. They're going in and they're hyping, you know, what wonderful things these things can do for the people in countries that that are having problems, and here in the United States where they can up the production of foods and such. So I guess what bothered me the most is that these people that have so much knowledge and so much money aren't investigating any further than what's being brought to their doorstep and sold to them.
Yeah. And it's an interesting comparison to the drug company. Did anybody watch The Doctors yesterday or the day before, or Friday?
No, I did not.
Well, I was thinking about this morning. Travis, at least, you know, is taking a show right now, on a new little twist here to drug abuse. And I just want to go get my notes because he said the same thing on Friday. He spent half of the program yesterday on drug abuse and how we get, and it's the doctors who are prescribing most of the drug abuse that gets, and how quickly people get hooked on them for pain. A statistic just will blow you away like it did me yesterday. Americans represent 5% of the global population. 5%. We consume 90% of all opiates produced. We are the opiate nation. NIH said prescription drug dependence has outsourced alcoholism. Alcoholism is no longer the big king. 97, and when people are on drugs, the opiates, and go to rehab, there's a 97% relapse rate.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it just blew me away. On Friday, he said, every day, 2,500 kids abuse a prescription drug for the first time every single day. Drug companies spend more on advertising than research. Every 19 minutes, someone dies from drug abuse. Every 19 minutes. As of September 10th of 13, the FDA no longer recommends opiates for moderate pain. 2 million people in the U.S. are addicted to prescription opiates, and it's not just teens. It's the most highly addictive substance. And many people got their drugs, their prescription from docs. So anyway, he's going in that. I don't know whether he's going to continue in that, but he certainly was Friday and yesterday. So why are we given, Marty says to me when I bring up Mindy brought corn Sunday from, you know, this farm thing that she still is getting food on once a week. And I said, it's probably GMO. She said, Mom, it's the freshest you can get, which is no question about that. It's very local. I said, the problem is people can't buy seeds that are not GMO. You know, thank you, Monsanto. Unless
right.
They have saved their own seeds over the past however many years. So let me just move on with the rest of this article, and then we can talk some more. So the They said corn, sugar beet, soybean, and canola are designed to appeal to growers by withstanding certain herbicides or creating their own internal. Okay. Gates. GMO advocates also include powerful nonprofits such as the Gates Foundation that say that technology can be used to enhance nutrition and other qualities desired by consumers. So, you know, you hear that, you read that, why not sign up for it? They're going to make it better for us. Neil Carter, founder of the British Columbia Company, seeking regulatory approval for genetically engineered apples that don't brown, GMOs conceived to appeal to consumers constitute a second wave. I mean, who wouldn't want apples that aren't going to brown? We're going to see the next generation of biotechnology, he said. The real war over GMO is happening in the political arena. The most recent skirmish took place last year in California, where the biotech industry and others spent $44 million to fight a labeling measure similar to Initiative 522, which is the one in Washington. Labeling supporters spent about $10 million. The measure lost, I mean, 10 against 44, but the idea of labeling GMOs appears to be a gaining traction. Maine and Connecticut recently passed labeling laws, although they are contingent on other states participating. Trader Joe's said in December that its private label products contain no GMOs, and Whole Foods said earlier this year that within 5 years, it will require suppliers to label products with genetically engineered ingredients. 5 years. People who oppose GMOs want labeling because they say genetically engineered crops have not been studied or regulated enough to know whether they are harmful. They also argue it would be hard to return to non-engineered crops if damage is discovered later. Because once you have it, there's nothing to go back to because you no longer have the seeds, I think. They point to dozens of other countries, including Japan and those of the European Union, that ban or label genetically engineered food. We already have the right to know as Americans what the sugar and fat content is, whether flavors are artificial or natural, whether fish is wild or farmed, what country our fruit comes from, and we have a right to know whether our food is genetically engineered, says this person from the PCC Natural Markets, which helped initiate, write Initiative 522. Proponents say the changes made to food using genetic engineering techniques are not that different from changes that occur when plants and animals are bred conventionally. They also point out that every independent science group to look into the issue has found no evidence of ill health effects. And they add, millions of people have eaten genetically engineered food for 20 years. It's fine for people from rich, well-fed nations with productive farms to decline the use of GMOs, but they should not be allowed to impose their preferences on Africa, Bill Gates said in a 2011 speech. Processed food manufacturers oppose labeling because labels could hurt sales. Gee, isn't that interesting? Removing all genetically engineered ingredients to avoid labeling would create enormous expenses, both in tracking down GMO-free ingredients and segregating GMO and GMO-free ingredients. The first genetically engineered food, which appeared in supermarkets in the early 1990s, was the Flavor Saver tomato. No, Flavor Saver, F-L-A-V-R-S-A-V-R. It was designed to last longer than regular tomatoes, but it flopped in the market. The tomato variety they worked with wasn't that well suited for fresh use. It was more of a processing variety. this is a person with a non-browning apple said about that. It was remarkably ignorant or naive, and it goes to show how technology by itself isn't the all and isn't the be-all and end-all. The cost, and the market has not seen more products like that because the cost, it costs so much to develop GMOs. Gee, isn't that a shame? It's very hard to get a payoff. This Charles Daniels wrote a book in 2001, Lords of the Harvest, Biotech, Big Money, and the Future of Food. In 2001, that was written. If you come up with, say, a soybean with maybe healthier oil content, how are you going to make money on that? You have to first convince the consumer that they want to pay more for that. While the focus has been on growers, other GMOs are in the pipeline that have functions unrelated to herbicides and pesticides. One is a genetically engineered salmon that grows to maturity more quickly. Another is rice with higher levels of vitamin A, known as golden rice. It's been a project of the Gates Foundation and others for years. I remember when we were eating meat. You have Giant Eagle, right, Betty?
Yes.
When they started selling meat in these sealed packages that was injected with some kind of a gas that would keep it way, way longer, in the, even in the showcase in the store,
and mm-hmm.
like it was just freshly cut, and they were not marking it. Remember that?
Oh, no, I don't remember that, Nancy.
It wasn't one of the sealed things like if you were buying a corned beef, not that kind of seal, but I'm almost sure, I mean, maybe it was still on the styrofoam thing, but something about it was different with the packaging, I think. And they were pumping some kind of a gas in there to hold it, almost like a hose.
Wow.
Something, and I stopped buying meat in China because of it. It just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time, even whenever we were eating meat, that I've bought any from Giant Eagle. So maybe that did play a part in why I stopped, because it's been a lot of years ago now.
I don't know if they're still doing it. You know, this is really a long time ago. And I can't even say how many years. Certainly well before we moved to this house, which is 9 years ago. But it was just something that didn't. Now, one of our grocery stores, you know, in every week in their ads, they do not use antibiotic-fed animals or pesticide animals. I mean, all of their meat is clean. And so anybody who's buying meat, who cares what they're serving their family, would certainly, that would be the place to shop. But
yeah,
I don't know. It could have been the start of all this GMO stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. I don't know where it's going to end up or what we can do about it.
Yeah, because, you know, once everything, the ground and everything, all the plants and such are contaminated with the GMO, then, and what it's doing as far as, you know, what they're doing as far as the GMO things for weeds and whatever other things they're breeding in and out of it, there is no going back. Everything's contaminated.
Yeah. Yeah, and the original healthy seeds are not going to be available.
Right.
Right.
Scary.
Last week we were talking briefly about these and how you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot and where else, I don't know, and buy a plant that is supposed to attract bees and butterflies and stuff, when in fact, and it's killing them. There's something in the plant. Now, whether the stores that are selling these things know this or not, I don't know. But what are they thinking?
I don't know. I truly don't know. It's scary beyond my understanding.
And other countries are so much smarter than we are. So much of this is.
Oh, in so many ways.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions, thoughts, concerns otherwise?
No,
No, but I was thinking about also when you were talking about the drugs and everything, and isn't that kind of why the Betty Ford Clinic came into being, with the fact that there are so many people at this point that have had, for one thing, back problems.
Right.
And so then they're given these drugs that they get hooked on for a pain situation. And it's just continue writing out those prescriptions for these pains and aches and such. And all of a sudden, you know, people you'd never expect are hooked on this kind of thing.
Well, he mentioned euphoria because how they affect the brain, and they flood the brain with dopamine that gives you a euphoric feeling. And I think maybe it was Fridays, and I don't have notes on this at all, but it's recently, within the past week or so, that Betty Ford was brought up as one of the first ones to start, because back pain is probably the most prevalent pain in the country.
Right.
Back and neck pain. And, you know, the opiates have been prescribed for moderate to severe pain. When I came home after my first knee, one of my scripts was for Oxy. And
oh, wow.
I don't know why, but Mindy took both of my prescriptions and got them both filled. So I had surgery, Marty had surgery, and I had another surgery. The entire prescription is sitting in my drawer. Not one pill has been taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what that could lead to, just taking one pill, so.
Well, then there was another, and I've never heard this one before, SUBOXONE, Suboxone, which is a pill that you can take to, it's a drug that suppresses the withdrawal symptoms and cravings of the opiates. It's proven,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to read the notes I took on this one. It's proven valuable in weaning addicts off opiates, but the critics are saying it's replacing one addiction with another. And he said the opiates affect the brain and floods it with dopamine, which is feel-good, you know, hormone. You don't get the same euphoric effect with the Suboxone, and it helps with the cravings. However, if you shoot it, you can get some euphoria with the Suboxone. I know, it's hard to OD on Suboxone, which obviously you can do quickly with the opiates. All good drugs have a point where they can be abused. And Marty said to me, which drug were we talking about? Oh, I think we were talking about chemo. And I said, you know, he wanted to know why people take chemo if it's so, do you really kill the cancer cells? And I said, unfortunately, not only do they kill the cancer cells, but they kill healthy cells. And people, well, I went back to the idea that Americans don't want to discuss dying, aren't going to die. You know, everybody, instead of going to hospice where they belong when they are terminal, the doctors are putting them in clinical trials, and the doctors don't want to send them to hospice. That's Mindy, who is a hospice social worker, has been discussing this lately with us. And Marty said, well, then why do people take chemo? I said, when it comes to the end, some people want every chance they can get, and they think, you know, maybe. I have a friend whose brother has pancreatic and liver cancer, and he was not eligible for any of the clinical trials because he had heart surgery about 10 years ago, but he's taking some form of chemo rather than hospice right now. Mm. You know, I don't say a word to her, and I don't know that saying a word to her would have any benefit anyway, because she isn't responsible for her brother. You know, I don't know what the answer is. You know, drugs. Doctors are trained to heal and to try every way of keeping someone alive. I understand that. But nobody gets out of here alive. We're all going to die.
Right.
And Mindy, having worked in hospice for a long time already, has said to me many times, especially with somebody like my friend's brother, your life is so, you feel so much better when you're in hospice and not doing drugs for, you know, chemo, and you're, the end of your life is a lot, it's a lot more pleasant. The drugs make you sick. You don't feel good.
So anyway, you know.
Sorry for such a downer.
That's life, Nancy.
It is. And I don't know what the answers are. And I have said many times, if I ever have that decision today, I can't say what it would be for me.
Right.
Because you don't know.
Not till you're in that position.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
I think a lot depends on age. I mean, I mentioned on the call before, Mindy's friend of 32 who's battling her life with breast cancer again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Anybody have any final thoughts?
Nope.
Oh, Daddy. Remember when I was looking for that article on sleep and Alzheimer's, and I couldn't find it?
Yeah.
Friday. That was the article that Char referred to then yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have to look anymore. Oh, I see things and I forget where I read them. But, yeah, it was in that Mary Jane's Farm magazine.
All righty.
Did she say
is that the latest, Elaine?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Did Char say
that? But you still pick that up.
I'm sorry,
did she send the article down on that?
I don't know.
I don't think
she didn't say anything about sending it.
Okay.
I think she said, and I don't know if it was referring to that particular article or not, that she had something that she was going to, an article she was going to send down before she left and didn't get it accomplished.
Okay.
So if that's the one, it wasn't sent out.
Okay. All right, well, because I hadn't seen it. Okay, guys. Thanks for showing up.
Well, you too.
I appreciate the support.
Yes, for sure. Thank you.
Have a good day, and I hope your baby continues to grow big and strong and do what she's supposed to do and give everybody the joy from her life that she has in her name.
Yes. Thank you, Nancy.
Welcome. Have a good day, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks. Great call, Nancy. Appreciate everything.
Thanks. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
To learn more about Nican, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.